We open the Holy Scriptures to Psalm 78. We'll read the first portion of the chapter, verses 1 through 41. Let us hear the word of God in Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law, and forgat his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt and in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand as in heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" Behold, he smote the rock that waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. So they did eat and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongue, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away, and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness, and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Thus far, we read the Holy Scriptures. On the basis of this passage and the entire Word of God, let us turn to Lord's Day 50 of the Heidelberg Catechism and consider its instruction this morning. Question 125. Which is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, if it were up to you to design the model prayer, what would it look like? If we're honest and we know our human flesh and our human preoccupations and our tendency to be so earthly-minded and earthly-focused, the model prayer would likely be very different than the way it is in the Scriptures. And the fourth petition would be one petition that would receive much modification. For one thing, this petition concerning our earthly needs would very likely not be the fourth petition. If we could design the model prayer after our own desires, very likely we would put this petition in position number one. Because our human hearts so often consider our earthly needs to be the most important thing. And not only our earthly needs, but often our earthly wants to be item number one. But for another, our flesh is often not satisfied with the simplicity of the fourth petition. If we could redesign the model prayer, we would often want to expand the fourth petition. The way Jesus puts it in the model prayer is, it's so bare bones. Give us this day our daily bread. That's it. Well, like the people of Israel in the wilderness, we so often want so much more and think we need so much more. If we could redesign the model prayer, it would be much longer, differently organized, after the desires of our heart. But we aren't the designers of the model prayer. Jesus is, and good thing too. For none knows us better, no one knows our needs better, and no one is in a better position to do that which is truly good for us than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has designed the model prayer. He has ordered our needs in their proper order, and in this prayer he teaches us how we are to approach God, how we are to petition, bring our petitions to God, and how we are to bring our needs before His throne of grace. And every aspect of this prayer is instructive, including the position of the fourth petition and including the simplicity of language that we find in the fourth petition, our petition for bread. Fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus teaches us as God's children to wait our turn. It's a lesson children need to learn often. And it's a lesson that we as spiritual children need to learn over and over again. Wait your turn. Yes, your bread is important. Yes, your earthly needs are real. But there are more important things that come first. And Jesus teaches us what those more important things are. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That is first, foremost. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. But seeking first the kingdom of God and its righteousness does not mean we completely discard or dismiss or get rid of the earthly needs that we have. And this is a beautiful aspect of the Lord's Prayer, that Jesus Christ teaches us to bring to God the earthly needs that we have. Bread is not something too lowly to bring before God our Father. There is a proper place for it. And that is what Jesus teaches us. Seek first the kingdom, but also trust God to add to you all the things that you need for this earthly life. Jesus does not command us to neglect our bodies or to neglect our earthly life, but to put it in its proper place and to trust Jehovah to provide. And therefore, he teaches us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not something that's unspiritual to pray, because saints aren't supernatural beings. We are physical creatures. We are of the earth, earthy. God has created us to live here. It is God's will for our lives to be sustained by bread and drink. And so he calls us to seek those things properly, to go to him in prayer, asking for them. And asking for them with the confidence of his children, knowing that our loving Father, who is all wise, will surely provide for the needs of our bodies, which he has redeemed with the blood of his Son, and for which he cares. Our Father knows our needs, and he will provide. Psalm 78 is instructive in this regard. The portion of the psalm that we have read this morning recounts the familiar history of Israel in the wilderness and recounts many of the sins of Israel by which they provoked God to wrath. And one of their sins was that they did not trust God for bread. And they lusted for much more than what God was pleased to give them at the time. And they kindled God's anger with their idolatrous distrust of him. And in those Israelites, we see our own foolish hearts too. How prone we are to become fixated on earthly things, to become discontent with the things we have, to think we don't have enough, to not trust God to give us the things that we need, to murmur, to complain, to fret, to worry. This history is given for our instruction, that we might trust our Father and seek from his hand all the things that we need for this life. So let us consider the instruction of the Catechism alongside this passage of Psalm 78. We do so under the theme, Praying to Our Father for Bread. Notice in the first place, daily bread. Second, given bread. Thirdly, blessed bread. Give us this day our daily bread. The fourth petition is a petition, a prayer for bread. And the Catechism explains what it is exactly that we are asking for in this petition, what bread is. That is the beginning of answer 125. Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. That's bread. All things necessary for the body. Everything that we need to live, to stay healthy, and to carry out the callings that God has given us in this life each and every day. And so bread, in the first place, of course, refers to food and drink. That's the most basic meaning. Food and drink are the most basic need of the human body. Bread is the basic food that meets the body's needs for energy and for nourishment. It is a hearty, it is a nourishing food. It is the staff of life that strengthens and supports earthly life. God created us to need that bread. He created us earthly creatures with earthly needs. That's not bad. That's simply the way God made us. And food and drink are the ordained means by which God sovereignly sustains and supports our earthly life. As the psalm says, God knows our frame, that we are dust. He remembers that we are dust. He knows our needs, and therefore he calls us to go to him and to ask of him bread. But as the Catechism says, bread is not simply food, it is all of our earthly necessities. Not just food and drink, but also things such as clothing, shelter, transportation, and even certain supplies that we might need for our vocation and calling in the midst of the world. Our bodies not only need nourishment from food to give us energy, but our bodies also need warmth, covering that comes from clothing, protection, safety that comes from shelter. As we carry out our callings in the midst of this world, there are certain things that we need in order to obtain our daily bread. The farmer needs seeds to plant in the earth, and he needs certain equipment to cultivate the earth. Those are basic necessities in his occupation. The mechanic needs tools in order to carry on his trade of repairing and building different machines. Those too are included among the basic necessities of life. Now that we pray for more than just bread, more than just food, but all of these basic necessities is implied in the fourth petition. Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Bread. Bread is the product of a long process. Bread does not grow outside in the farmer's field. Those kernels of grain grow, and those kernels of grain must be harvested. They must be processed. They must be baked. They must be turned into bread. And so in the fourth petition, we are praying that the Lord would sovereignly arrange that whole process such that those kernels of grain get from the farmer's field to our family's dinner table. We ask that He will work in all of these areas of the creation, all of these areas of society, so that bread is provided to us. But Jesus has much more to teach us about bread in this petition. There is a cluster of words around the word bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And each of those words are meaningful and deliberately chosen by our Lord. So let's notice four of those words which fill out the meaning of this petition. First, give us this day our daily bread. That word daily qualifies bread. It explains to us what sort of bread we are to ask for of our Father. Daily means enough for a day. A portion for a day. The idea is that we are to go to God and we are to ask Him to give us the portion of bread that He has sovereignly determined for us today. It's a petition of faith. In this petition, we acknowledge that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. All things, the world and the fullness thereof belong to God. He is the sovereign giver and distributor of all things. And so we ask Him to give us whatever amount of bread He deems best for us today. It comes from faith. Because we of ourselves want to be the sovereign apportioner and distributor of bread. We have our own ideas about how much would be good for us today. Faith submits to God's sovereignty. It says, give us this day our daily bread. But in connection with daily, there is this day. Give us this day, our daily bread. And the idea here is we pray for the bread of today, not for the bread of tomorrow. Jesus teaches us in our earthly lives to focus on one day at a time, not to let ourselves be overwhelmed with care, worry about tomorrow, but to trust Father today to provide me my daily bread and to seek my necessities from the hand of God each and every day. The Christian is not one who says, Father, grant me this year my yearly bread. Prays that prayer at the beginning of the year, and then he doesn't pray it till next year. No, the point of Jesus is, this is your prayer every single day. Father, grant me this day the portion of bread, everything I need today. And then tomorrow, we get down on our knees, and we pray that same petition again. Give us this day our daily bread. Again, that's faith. Faith that trusts Father. Faith that trusts Father to be there tomorrow. The same care that God has for us today, He will have for us tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. He's not going to change. He's not going anywhere. And therefore the believer is content each day to pray for what he needs that day. Now this, of course, doesn't mean that the Christian may not take responsible forethought for the future. It does not mean that he may not plan for the future. It does not mean that he may not save up for his retirement or take responsible action to ensure that there is money there when he finishes his career, or to save up for the Christian schooling of his children, or many other good reasons to save money for the future. That's not the idea. Indeed, God's word calls us to do just that, to be responsible with the things God gives us, to take responsible forethought. Think of the Proverbs 6 verse 8, where the sluggard is called to learn the lesson of the ant. Look at the ant. See how industrious the ant is in his labor. But not only that, see how the ant stores up food for the coming months. The lesson that we are to learn is that we must look to God each day to provide for what we need. Trust Him and ask for our bread each day, even as we plan for the future, even as we take responsible forethought for the future. We don't trust in ourselves. We don't trust in our plans for the future. We don't trust in that retirement fund. The only thing certain in this life is God and His care for us. Money might be worth something today, it might be worth nothing tomorrow. There is nothing in which we can trust but God, our Father, and our Provider. Thus the believer by faith prays each and every day, give us this day our daily bread. Third, give us this day our daily bread. We've noticed this in the preceding petitions, that they are in the plural. We pray as a body, as a community of believers. Jesus here teaches us not only to pray for our own bread, for the things that we personally have need of, but in the very same breath, to pray for the needs of others. The disciple of Christ is not a self-absorbed person, or ought not to be. Rather, he should have a great care and concern for the earthly needs of his brothers and sisters in the congregation. He must pray also for their needs, and he must be open to the reality that God may use him as a means for fulfilling the needs of a needy brother or sister in the congregation. Give us this day our daily bread. We pray for ourselves and our families, but also for one another. On a related note, this shows us too that the fourth petition is not a poor man's petition. We must not view it that way, as if this is a petition especially designed for those who do not have much in this life. This petition ought to be prayed equally by those who have much, by those who have little, and those who are in the middle somewhere. All are to depend upon God for their daily bread. The wealthier brethren are to pray for those who have less and to seek to use what God has given them to bless their brethren. And those who have less are to pray for their Father to provide for their needs and to pray for their wealthier brethren, that those brethren may have the wisdom they need to use the things that God has given them in the right way. Employers are to pray for their employees. Give us this day our daily bread. Provide, Father, not only for me, but for all those who are in my employ. And Father, use my labor as a means in thy hands to provide for those who I employ. And employees, you are to pray for the needs of your employer. Give us this day our daily bread. Father, prosper my employer's business and use him as the means by which thou dost give me my daily bread. In the church, we are not focused simply on self, but we have a consciousness for the whole body, and we pray for the needs of the whole body. Give us this day our daily bread. Fourth, finally, give us this day our daily bread. That word "our" is striking. It's a possessive pronoun. It lays claim to something. Who are we to say that we have our bread? Isn't all bread, isn't everything the possession of God? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Yes, it is. When we say, give us this day our daily bread, we're not expressing a spirit of entitlement to that bread. Rather, what the petition reveals here is the beautiful relationship we have with God the Father. We do not come to Him in prayer as miserable beggars, but we come to Him as His blood-bought spiritual children. And children have certain rights. And as God's children, we have been graciously given the rights of children. And as children, we can expect, confidently expect, that our loving Father will provide the portion of bread that we need. And so we go to Him with that confidence, not as miserable beggars, but as children. Father, give us our bread, our daily bread. And so that is the meaning of the fourth petition. We pray for bread, the necessities of life. Bread that is daily bread. Bread enough for each day, this day. We pray for this bread as a body. Give us this bread. And we pray with the confidence of children. Our daily bread. A couple of brief applications then. Let us be instructed by the Lord Jesus and take seriously His call to pray for bread. Easily in our American culture, and easily in our circles, with the biblical work ethic that God has given us, we can be inclined to forget to pray this every day. To trust in ourselves, in our own industry. Jesus reminds us here, no. Every single day, seek your bread from the hand of God. Pray for it. Express to your Father your dependence upon Him. Seek your bread from the hand of your Father. Even as you are called to set your affections on things above, go to God also for the things you need below. Don't live for earthly things. Don't live for bread, but ask for bread in order that you may live. And living may glorify God in this world. The second application. In the fourth petition, Jesus teaches us to differentiate our wants from our needs. We often blur the two. The simplicity of language in the fourth petition sets before us what we really need, the basic necessities of life. Bread, water, clothing, shelter, and the basic tools of our trade, so that we might have the income that God has appointed for us. Those are our needs. But we have a tendency to inflate our needs by throwing a bunch of things from the want category into the need category. And the simplicity of this petition calls us back to our needs. These are the things we are to pray for. Pray for bread, not luxuries. Enough bread, not a superabundance of bread. And when the Lord in His generosity gives above and beyond what we have need of, seek how you may use that abundance according to His word. Our daily bread is given bread. One word of the fourth petition that remains to be looked at closely is the first word of the petition, which we consider now in the second point. Give us this day our daily bread. God alone gives bread. That is highlighted by this word. Bread is given by no other. We receive bread from no other than God Himself. God gives bread, and God gives bread using certain means, and therefore we are to trust God to provide our needs. When we pray the fourth petition, we acknowledge that God is the giver. As the Catechism puts it, we acknowledge thereby that He is the fountain of all good. Here, the Catechism very rightly shows us how the fourth petition teaches us to think about God in the right way. We mustn't think about God as someone who's distant and doesn't care about the needs of his people. Or a God who is only concerned about the souls of his people, but really doesn't care about the bodies of his people. God is the overflowing fountain of all good. And he gives all good to his people. The greatest of goods is the spiritual salvation he gives his people in Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. But God is also the fountain of physical good, bread, and the necessities of this life. Fourth petition teaches us to think about God rightly. He's the source of everything that is good. And that's because of who he is as the one only true God. He is the only fountain of all good because he is the creator of all things and the upholder of all things. In him, all creatures live and move and have their being. He has given every creature its life, its existence. And as he has ordained to sustain the life of his creatures by means of earthly food and drink, he also provides those good things to sustain their life. God is the overflowing fountain of all good because he is the only good. There is none good but God. And the good God is infinite. He is an inexhaustible fountain of all good. He is almighty. He is the creator of heaven and earth. There is no good that he cannot do, and there is no good beyond his power to give. And for the child of God, he is a loving father who wills to give his people all good, including bread. There's no good that God will withhold from his people, except when withholding a certain good does them greater good. And so we see, we have to go to God in prayer because he is the overflowing fountain of all good. From him alone we receive bread to nourish the body. This is how we are to think about our Father. Psalm 78 shows us that this was a lesson that the church in the wilderness, Israel, had to learn over and over again. And the church in the wilderness, it's a picture of us too. It's a lesson we have to learn over and over again. By his mighty works, Jehovah showed himself to be the one true and only God. He showed himself to Israel to be the fountain of all good, the only provider for his people's needs. Psalm 78 recounts the mighty works of God, how he delivered his people from the house of bondage in Egypt, and he led them then into the wilderness. And there in the wilderness, he revealed himself as this fountain of all good. There was no bread. There was no water. There was no new clothing to be found. There was no natural shelter, a waste, howling wilderness. The people of Israel had no way to get the basic necessities of life for themselves. There God revealed himself as the giver and provider for his people's needs. His people thirsted, and he provided water flowing from the rock. His people hungered, and he gave them bread from heaven, angels' food, rained manna down upon them each day, supplying their daily bread. He's the overflowing fountain of all good. And so to apply it, beloved, as part of our walk with God by faith, as a part of our daily prayers, we ought to acknowledge God, his goodness, and the reality that he is the overflowing fountain of all good. Give us this day our daily bread. And with those words, glorify God, who gives so richly and generously. Like all of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, the fourth petition is not simply A petition asking for something is an act of worship. It is an expression of adoration. When we pray this petition, we go to Jehovah, acknowledging Him to be the one and only fountain of all good. And acknowledging Him to be such, then let us pray this petition humbly and thankfully. The Israelites, how often did they grumble? Read about that in the Psalm. They complained. They provoked Jehovah to anger with their discontent, with their thanklessness, even as He gave them so bountifully and richly from His hand. Let us learn that lesson, to be content, to wait upon the Lord, and to thank Him for our bread, to thank Him for every morsel of bread, every pair of clothes, every roof that is over our head, every car that gets us from point A to point B, every cent of income, all of it comes from the hand of God our Father. All of it comes from the overflowing fountain of all good. We deserve none of it, and yet He provides so richly for our needs. Thank Him. Gratitude focuses on what God has given, not on what He has chosen to withhold. So as we pray, give us this day our daily bread, in the same breath, let us say, thank Thee, Father, for our daily bread. So we are looking at the fact that God is the giver. Our daily bread is given bread. It comes from the overflowing fountain of all good. But now in the set is ordinarily pleased to give us this bread. God gives bread using certain means. And the means that the catechism identifies is our care and industry. God uses means. He doesn't put bread on our table by lowering a platter from heaven. He doesn't cause clothes to simply appear upon our backs. He doesn't work a miracle so that bricks assemble themselves and build walls around us and put a roof over our head. No, the way God is pleased to give is by use of means. The means of our care and industry. Care and industry here refer to our responsible, diligent, faithful, and prayerful labor. The work of our hands, the work of our minds that we carry out in the particular vocation and calling that the Lord has given us here in this world. That's the means He uses to give us bread. It's been that way since creation. Think of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God did not call them to just sit there idly in the sunshine. He gave them work to do. Keep the garden. Dress the garden. And by means of that keeping and dressing, God gave them their daily bread. It was that way in paradise before the fall. And it's that way after the fall. There's much more toil in man's work. By the sweat of man's brow he shall eat his bread. But the will of God remains the same. By means of work, the Lord gives bread. That was even the case in the wilderness. We might think that when God rained the manna down upon His people in the wilderness, He was simply handing them that bread. But no, they still had to work. God didn't cause the manna to flow inside their tents and neatly pile itself in their baskets. It was scattered on the ground in the wilderness. And each day, people had to go out. 6 days a week, every day but the Sabbath, pick up that manna, only enough for one day, gather it together, bring it home, by means of labor. So the calling implied in the fourth petition is, Christian, be a diligent, hard-working Christian. It's a basic aspect of the Christian life to work. The Christian life is not a life of idleness. It is not a life of leeching off government programs. It is a life of laboring in the service of God, whatever that vocation might be. And thus the Apostle Paul is so bold to say in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if any man would not work, neither should he eat. God has ordained a connection between labor and bread. And what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. So our calling is labor. Labor where God has placed you. Take care that you are diligent and faithful in your labors. But take care also that we don't ascribe to our work in industry the power to obtain this bread. That's the other danger. We work really hard, we're diligent in our callings, and we start to think that that is what gets us the bread. No, no, no. That's the means. But God gives the bread. God is the one who provides. He uses our work. The glory is His. The praise is His. We should trust Him, not ourselves. That leads to the third and final thing to see under the heading, Given Bread. God, the Father, is the fountain of all good. He uses our care and industry as the means in His hands to bestow upon us that bread. And as a result, we are to trust Him entirely. And as the Catechism says at the end, withdraw our trust from all creatures, including ourselves, and put it entirely in God our Father. We're prone to distrust God. Prone to put misplaced trust in creatures. And that's the folly of sin. When we trust anything else but God, we're saying that thing in which we put our trust is the fountain of good. We're more likely to get what we need from that thing than from God. At root, such distrust is idolatry. Israel's history in the wilderness illustrates this distrustful idolatry, especially in verses 19 through 24 of Psalm 78. The Israelites had seen God's mighty acts, how He was able to provide for their needs in the wilderness. He gave them water from the rock. And what's their response? Can God furnish us a table in the wilderness? He could give us water, but can He give us bread? Those are words of distrust, denial of His power and His love for His people. How easily we can have that same spirit. We know God, our Father. We've experienced His grace. We've experienced His care for us. And then difficult circumstances arise in life and we don't think He can provide for what we need. We take matters into our own hands. We fret. We worry. We complain. How easily our hearts go in the same direction as those Israelites can look down on them sometimes. You fools, how did you behave that way in the desert? You saw the Exodus. You saw God's mighty works. Well, we're just like them. Trust. That's the calling. Trust in the mighty, stretched out arm of Jehovah rather than the frail arm of the flesh. When it comes to your daily bread, when it comes to your daily income, when it comes to finding the necessities of life, when it comes to finding the money needed for school tuition and the many other important things of this life, trust your Father to provide. Rest in Him. Again, that doesn't mean we're idle. We busy ourselves in our care and industry, but we don't become overburdened with care and worry. Because we know we're in His hands. And He will provide in His way, in His timing, which is always the most wise and best way. Let's remember our God. Recall all His mighty works. Recount that He is our rock and the high God is our Redeemer. Tell our children that He is our rock and Redeemer. Teach our children to depend and trust in the Lord for daily bread and for all the things that we need. Labor in the consciousness. God the Father will provide. Pray, give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread, given bread, finally blessed bread. When we pray that God will give us our bread, we also pray that he will give us something with our bread. And that is his blessing. Catechism points that out when it tells us that our care and industry, indeed none of God's gifts, can truly profit us without God's blessing. And here then the Catechism is explaining a very important truth. Bread is not good for us by itself. Indeed, nothing in this creation is truly good for us by itself. Nothing can benefit us now or eternally, except it be accompanied with God's blessing. Except God bless our use of it and bless it unto us. God's blessing is his powerful word of his favor. When God blesses you, he causes his favor to abide upon you for Jesus' sake. It is the expression of his love and grace to you. It is a word of grace. And when God blesses something unto you, or blesses your use of something, or blesses your care in industry, what that means is God works that thing for your good, out of an attitude of favor towards you. So when we pray, Father, bless this meal, we pray that before every meal, and it's good that we do. We are saying, Heavenly Father, this bread that thou hast given, I recognize it will not be good for me, truly good, unless thou dost use it for my good. And so, Father, use it according to thy wisdom for my good. It's the blessing of God that makes man's eating and drinking, his labor, truly profitable. The unbeliever, the unregenerate man, he may have wealth aplenty. He may have amassed riches to himself. He might eat and drink in abundance. He may have a successful business, but none of these things truly profit him. In fact, they all work for his destruction because the blessing of God is not there. The blessing of God does not accompany those things, and the blessing of God does not make them truly profitable. That man does not have the blessing of God. Rather, the curse of the Lord is in his house. But God gives bread to his children accompanied with his blessing. And God uses the care and industry of his children to work good. Thus we pray the fourth petition, Father, give us this day our daily bread, and give us this day our daily blessing with that bread. Again, Psalm 78 gives us a picture of that. The Israelites, in their ingratitude, got sick of the manna God was giving them. They complained. They wanted flesh. They wanted meat. So God, in his chastising wrath, gave them a whole bunch of quail to feast upon. What do we read? While the meat of those quail was still between their teeth, while they were still eating it, God's wrath was kindled and he slew many of the unbelieving among them. He chastised Israel. That meat served their destruction because the blessing of God did not accompany it. Bread only does us good with God's blessing. Christ has secured that blessing for us. On his cross, where he died to take away our sin, where he became a curse for us, that we would never be accursed. By his death, he has obtained for us the rights of children, all the spiritual blessings of being adopted children and heirs. And that includes things as simple as our daily bread. The cross transforms everything. We eat and drink under the shadow of the cross with the confidence of God's blessing upon us. And a blessing that abides throughout all of this life. A blessing that is unchangeable. A blessing that can be depended upon. So when we go to God our Father and ask for bread, we are confident that he will give us his blessing. Thus we do not eat and drink to our own condemnation. We eat and drink to the glory of God. Whether we have much or little, we have God's blessing. And if you have God's blessing, you are rich. So, beloved, through Christ, unto the glory of God, let us pray. Give us this day our daily bread, seeking our needs from God the Father, so that we may use them in this earthly life to serve Him faithfully in our station and calling. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the instruction of our Lord in this fourth petition. We bring to Thee our needs, the many needs that we have for the body as well as for the soul. Give us this day our daily bread, and accompany that bread with Thy blessing, that our care and industry may profit, and that all things may indeed work for our good. Grant, Father, that everything that Thou dost give us, we may receive as a gift from Thee, and use in Thy service for Thy glory, which is the supreme good. Hear us in mercy for Jesus' sake. Amen.